And you remember we already saw how they got rid of chapter 37. Because spiritualization of that chapter was to have happened in the past. You remember that. We had read it in its context. But to go beyond that which is clearly set forth by inspiration, as John writes in Revelation 20 about Gog and Magog, as an interpretation of Ezekiel, is to substitute personal opinion for thus saith the Lord. So we conclude that Old Testament prophecy must first be examined in terms of the historic application to literal Israel before the validity of a derived application to spiritual Israel may be undertaken. And of course, we can never be sure as individuals without a prophet or a prophetess telling us whether such a thing will be fulfilled through the church instead of ancient Israel. One of the main objectives of the Bible commentator is to reconstruct the historical setting in which the declarations of the prophets were originally made. Perfectly all right. The historical setting in which they were made is one thing. What the prophet intended the prophecy to refer to in time is another. Christianity is a historical religion in the sense that it has roots definable through history. I agree. And its inspired messages are anchored in the hills and valleys and deserts and rivers of the ancient world. But that doesn't mean that the message then given was to be fulfilled in those valleys and deserts at that time only or even at all. Though the prophet looked at events about him, he could see far beyond his own day. In a mysterious way, known only to God, the prophet's words were sometimes intended to meet their fulfillment in the then far distant future, but we can't be sure which ones and how twisted the fulfillment will be. Like Revelation 20 on Gog and Magog versus Ezekiel 38 and 39. But there may be some, but we can simply not understand how any duality could apply. That's what it says here. That's the reason they don't understand. And all your clear explanations will never undo the damage done to those who believe in Ellen G. White. Except the prophecy be fulfilled the Bible way. At times these prophets, these prophecies had an import, not only for the age in which the prophet lived, but also for a day far future. In other words, they did have a dual application. Similarly, the ways in which God dealt with men in crises of the past are often cited as examples for the future. But without a later inspired writer telling us how it's to be fulfilled in duality, we can never know for sure. Listen carefully. I'll go back on the same page 37. Where inspiration has not thus clearly spoken the privilege to compare Scripture with Scripture in endeavor to understand more perfectly the mind of the Spirit. But as in all exposition of Scripture, we should avoid affirming as the explicit teachings of the Bible that which private find you, however plausible it may appear. We can never be sure. Now, the last page I want to quote. On page 38. We're starting here. It is only against the background of the original historical context of the message that its meaning and value can be established with some certainty. Now, the study of the Old Testament prophets that consists primarily of lifting selected passages out here and there, I add, as the Worldwide Church of God does, out of their historic context, and arbitrarily applying them to our day, because they mean us, as if the prophet spoke exclusively for our benefit, is fraught with grave danger. In fact, this procedure is responsible more than anything else for the fanciful interpretations that distinguish the teachings of certain religious groups that you know. In an age when every wind of doctrine is blowing, It is well to make certain that our understanding of Bible prophecy rests upon a positive, thus saith the Lord, of course. In so doing, we shall be secure against the fanciful explanations sometimes given certain Old Testament prophecies. Do not think they didn't mean us, because the Adventist commentary was written long after our literature was circulated and in their hands. That's why they mention one of the fundamental explanations of Bible prophecy is this wacky British Israel idea. So they did take note of us, and they take note of our literature on the resurrection and the date of the crucifixion. We shall be protected from the grossly literal explanation of some expositors, like Herbert Armstrong, concerning the return of literal Israel to literal Palestine to rule the world for 1,000 years. Now you pray tell who else, except the Worldwide Church of God, is talking about this. Now I know some others have copied us because it sells. And they think that if we can make, $75 million a year, why shouldn't they? So we have new sects arising preaching similar things. But Jesus is a good commodity. And that's their view. But there's no doubt they had reference to us, because when this was written, which now goes back some years, I'll tell you, I should be in here, 1955, 1977, the copyrights, and revised in 76. But there's no question what the original implications meant. They meant this church, other Sabbath keepers. And that all this is to be prior to the close of human probation. That's what we say. Probation isn't closed yet. See, that Israel is to return, literal Israel, to literal Palestine for 1,000 years before the close of probation. So they see that we teach, and they know we teach, that 1,000 years at least must elapse before probation is closed. They have closed it at the time of the second coming of Christ. That is their basic doctrine. And now I'll try to proceed and not get upset. And also against other equally unscriptural interpretations that propose to apply allegorically to the church all the details of the promises originally made to literal Israel. This is the other extreme of other people. I'm not referring to us. Both of these extreme methods rest, W-R-E-S-T, the obvious intent of the scripture, and render a sound understanding of the messages of the prophets for the church today unattainable. The following simple rules are suggested as a safe approach to the study of the Bible for the prophets. Examine the prophecy in its entirety. Note by whom it is spoken, to whom it is addressed, the circumstances that called it forth. Now, it was obviously addressed to the people at that time because they were the ones who were to preserve it. But what the message is and what those who were to preserve it were to do with it must not be overlooked. Remember that, generally speaking, it was originally given with respect to the historical circumstances that called it forth. It was ordained of God to meet the needs of his people at the time it was given, and to remind them of the glorious destiny that awaited them as a nation, which if they flunked would never happen. To remind them of the coming of the Messiah and of the establishment of his eternal kingdom. Discover what the message meant to the people of that time. Because the implication, of course, you must understand, is that the reason for the prophecy is that there was a need at that time to explain to those people what was going to happen to them, and maybe also further into the future. That is the picture. This rule, of course, does not apply to certain portions of Daniel. Observe the conditional aspects of the prediction and ascertain whether or not, or to what extent, the conditions were met. Did Israel fail? Discover what application later inspired writers made of the prophecy. Auf Wiedersehen. That is, did John give another explanation of Ezekiel? And on this basis, it's possible to determine the significance for God's people in this time. Let me state this again. You discovered that whatever application an inspired writer later made would enable us to know how it applies to God's people, the church, at this time. Because it can't apply to Israel. They forfeited everything nationally in AD 34 at the end of 490 years. And therefore, there is no alternative but to say, if no later Bible writer expounds an Old Testament prophecy, we simply have no way of knowing how it will be fulfilled in the future. And in many cases, we may assume it never will be. Now, do you see what a spiritual iron curtain has been drawn over these people? On the basis that they have listened to a prophetess who told them this principle. Remember that the record of God's dealings with his people in ages past has been recorded for the benefit of all later generations to the end of time. Our study of messages originally proclaimed by holy men of old to the people is not to become an end in itself, but a means of discovering God's will, that is, with respect to human conduct. Now, there's truth to that. You can always read a prophecy, even about Sodom and Gomorrah, get a lesson. That's what they're talking about. These rules, last paragraph, are consistently, if consistently followed, the resulting interpretation can be acceptance with confidence. In the inspired utterances of the prophets of old, the sincere seeker for truth will thus find messages of comfort and guidance for today as he wanders in darkness, eating the sour grapes. Now, I presume it would be appropriate for me at least to have some comments from you. I think this comes as perhaps, shall I say, a shock to understand how they think. Not just what they thought, because all the time previous to reading this, I understood what they thought. I never understood before why they thought. But why they thought this is undoubtedly also why many Protestants as a whole read our literature and just don't get it. Because they think the Jews forfeited everything and that was that God has chosen the church and all these prophecies were intended for some relationship with Israel before Israel went defunct. Either were for the past, maybe up to the present, but since Israel isn't even functioning as God's people, it could never be fulfilled. Do we have some comments, response? This is a learned audience. Now there's somebody, I cannot identify you. It's all the way back.
That would be our best way to ask a question then.
Well, I would presume that if you had been carefully listening, this is not meant as an offense, that if you had been carefully listening, you would recognize that immediately they have made an assumption, which Mr. Armstrong says is fundamental, that salvation was open to ancient Israel. And therefore, when as a nation they rejected it, nationally speaking, probation closed on them. And God had to reject the nation and call another nation, called the church. Their assumption is that the promises to ancient Israel included salvation, so God could hold them responsible. And he gave them one chance through Zedekiah. He gave them another chance up to Jesus. And when they forfeited that, the second and final opportunity, nationally speaking, for salvation to fulfill prophecy fell by the way. They made this fundamental assumption that salvation was open to the nation as a whole and through them would have been open to the world, so the world should have received Jesus when he was born of Mary.